bills are all due, and the baby needs shoes, and I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter of a pound, but I'm busted. I got a cow that went dry and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that gets bigger each day. The county's gonna haul my belongings away, 'cause I'm busted.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Anthony Geist, who's a professor of Spanish and Comparative Literature at the University of Washington, where he specializes on contemporary literature and culture of Spain. He's just returning from Spain. He's also the author of a book on the Spanish Civil War, and particularly the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, which he co-authored with the Spanish photojournalist Jose Moreno, Passing the Torch, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and Its Legacy of Hope. Welcome to Background Briefing, Anthony Geist.
Thank you, Ian.
Now, you're just back from Spain, and of course, Spain is beset with over 50% youth unemployment, and the banking sector was reorganized, or an attempt was made last Friday to reorganize the banking sector that's still reeling from the 2008 housing bubble crash. Is there a sense in Spain that they're following along the path of Greece?
I've been to Spain several times in the last about month and a half or 2 months, and I noticed this last week when I was there that there is greater pessimism than I've ever noticed before. Greece, I think, is very present in everybody's minds. There's been talk of perhaps leaving the euro system. It's the only way they can devalue their currency and be able to deal with the recession, or as many people feel that's the case.
So what is their understanding, though, of how they got into this mess? First of all, my understanding about the housing bubble was that it was inflated largely by Germans buying second homes in Spain, and obviously a lot of overbuilding took place, as was the case in Ireland. Germany, of course, has been the beneficiary of the euro, and they're proving to be kind of fair-weather friends. They're kind of rejecting the Greeks and the Spaniards and others on cultural basis, that they don't pay their taxes and they're irresponsible and they're not frugal like the Germans are. Is there any kind of cultural backlash in Spain?
Well, there is just resentment against Merkel and the Germans, although it's, you know, I think it's inaccurate to attribute the burst of the housing bubble to Germans buying second homes. That certainly was part of what fueled the housing boom. But it was, in large part, it was speculation by Spanish construction companies. There are currently over 1 million unoccupied and unsold new apartments in Spain. 1 million. And that was not all for Germans looking for second homes. It was, it was fueled by this speculative fury. And money was available. It was cheap credit, cheap mortgages. And this fueled this, this building and construction fury. And of course, that sector is entirely dead now in Spain.
So this obviously contributes to unemployment, but what is the main, it surely is not sufficient to explain over 50% unemployment amongst the young.
Yeah, well, there's just, the Spanish economy is, it's not a largely manufacturing or productive economy. It's in very large part a service economy. Part of the bottom has fallen out of that. There are very few jobs. Actually, Spanish youth are exceptionally well educated. Because they've stayed in school, they stayed in college, gotten their degrees, because there's no work when they get out. And so that's, I think that's the real crisis. I'm not an economist. This is what I see, as a frequent visitor and someone who knows the culture well.
Again, I'm speaking with Anthony Geist, who is a professor of Spanish and Contemporary Literature at the University of Washington, where he specializes in contemporary literature and culture of Spain. He's also a scholar of the Spanish Civil War, in particular the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. He co-authored a book on that, Passing the Torch, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and Its Legacy of Hope. How much, though, just to touch on the, not so much on the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, but on the Spanish Civil War, is there the legacy of the Spanish Civil War, the fact that there was no kind of truth and reconciliation, there's been attempts at it, but it's not really happened. How much is that still festering between the left and the right in Spain, and has that led to any kind of political impasse?
Well, it has indeed led to serious political problems between the left and the right in Spain. The Spanish Civil War is still very much present in the Spanish psyche. It's the wound that has never healed in Spain. Particularly in the last 6 or 8 years, there's been a movement which is called for the recovery of historical memory in Spain, and it began as a citizen movement, people wanting to locate the mass graves where their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who were victims of the Franco repression were buried in unmarked graves. It began, as I say, as a citizens' movement. It was picked up by certain people in the judiciary and in the government and in politics. This is ultimately what's led to the dismissal of Judge Baltasar Garzón last month, or in February, from his position on the Spanish judiciary. He was accused of exceeding his authority by authorizing the opening of these mass graves and the exhumations. So it's a very, very hot button issue still in Spain. There's no family in the country does not have relatives who were affected on one side or the other of the conflict. And although it was 70 years ago, it's still very much present.
So I followed the Judge Garzón trial, and I did feel that it was a sort of political payback for him pushing too far. So there's obviously enormous resistance in the conservative Spanish establishment. What's the role of the king? Because he recently disgraced himself. He's the head of the World Wildlife Foundation, and he's off there shooting elephants in Africa, which was just beyond belief in terms of, it's polite to say it was a public relations gaffe. I mean, I believe one of his sons is actually quite urbane and quite liberal in his outlook. Tell me about the Spanish conservative establishment.
Well, the Spanish royal family and the king particularly has actually been very well loved by the Spanish people for the king's role in the transition to and the consolidation of a democratic regime after the death of Franco. There was an attempted coup in 1981. Franco died in very late November 1976. In 1981, there was an attempted coup, and the king did not back the military officers who were leading the coup. And the restoration of democracy was very largely attributed to him. The latest debacle has done great damage to the royal family, to their prestige. In addition to hunting elephants while being the head of the World Wildlife Federation, it also took place. The incident took place on the 14th. Of April, which is the celebration of the founding of the Spanish Republic in 1931, which was overthrown by Franco. So it was a very, very unfortunate constellation of events.
So again, Anthony Geist, professor of Spanish and contemporary literature at the University of Washington, specialist on the contemporary literature and culture of Spain, and just back from Spain. One of the reasons why I've been following the European crisis for so long, and it's pretty hard to understand how Merkel and company have allowed it to continue on. They've never built a sufficient firewall to stop the bleeding, and now shoes are dropping like Greece and possibly Spain. And clearly it's going to have ramifications for the American election if there's a crash of the Eurozone. And that will, of course, cascade back here, and we may end up with a Mitt Romney as a result. Is there a sense in Spain that they're a part of a larger drama?
Well, yes, there is, in fact. You know, I think that's clear. You know, the world is interconnected, particularly with, with the communications technologies and so forth, which have changed the way we understand the world and our place in it. Still, my sense is, just having been there on the streets, is that people are experiencing this as very, very personal and a very Spanish tragedy, misfortune. There's a very bleak outlook. They don't really seem to see any way out of it, to understand any way out. I know there's, they follow American politics. The people I spoke with speak with scorn of Mitt Romney, and still with considerable admiration of Obama. How that will change if, if the euro goes belly up in Spain, that may be a different matter, and how it affects U.S. economy and politics.
Well, you were there on Saturday for the first anniversary of the Indignant Ones.
Exactly right.
So tell us about that and that movement.
Well, it's the Occupy movement, sort of avant la lettre. It was, they camped out in the Puerto del Sol, which is both the real and the symbolic center of the country in Madrid, for many months. And there were demonstrations called on Saturday for all over the country. Every major city in the country had demonstrations in commemoration of the first anniversary of, 15M, the 15th of May movement, the Indignados, the Indignant Ones. And I actually left in the morning, on Saturday morning, so I saw it through on Facebook and YouTube, instant links, direct links. Puerto del Sol at 4 o'clock in the morning was packed with people, despite the mayor of Madrid forbidding camping there, staying beyond a certain time of night. I don't know if it was 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So there is a, I think there's a great sense of indignation with the government's response to the economic crisis in Spain. And this is both the recently elected conservative government, the Indignados movement began Zapatero, under the Socialist Party, and there's the feeling I have is that there's a kind of a pox on both your houses. The new Popular Party government has not been able to respond in any effective way to the crisis either.
So that's very much like the Occupy movement here in the United States. They are zealously unaligned. Certainly they don't support the Republicans, and they're leery of the Democrats. So that seems to be fairly universal in terms of the Occupy movement. But clearly, they got more skin in the game, if you will, if half of the young are unemployed. Just in closing, what's going to end this indignation, this sense that half of the population are unemployed? I imagine the entire generation under 25 in many ways feel like a lot of the kids that brought about the Arab Spring, that the older generation have screwed things up for them and stolen their future.
Yes, indeed. I mean, the most chilling statistic that I've heard is that the population between the age of 18 and 35, 45% of that age group have never held a job. They've never had their first job. So one of the responses, of course, is a brain drain. The Spaniards are looking for work throughout Europe, young Spaniards, and in Latin America. And also the other response is this indignation on the streets.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Anthony Geist.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Ian. Very, very happy to do so and to actually have been there and been able to see it.
Again, I've been speaking with Anthony Geist, a professor of Spanish and contemporary literature at the University of Washington, where he specializes in contemporary literature and culture of Spain. He also is a specialist on the Spanish Civil War and on the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, the American Volunteers, the so-called premature anti-fascists. He's the co-author of the book Passing the Torch, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and its Legacy of Hope. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking further about this crisis in Spain.
Spanish eyes. Teardrops are falling from your Spanish eyes. Please, please don't cry. This is just audios and not